Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 68. And we're going to begin by reading 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And it says, "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is Jehovah. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah. And Jehovah appeared again in Shiloh, for Jehovah revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Jehovah." And we were looking last time at verse 18, where it says, "And Samuel told him every whit," and the word "whit" is actually better translated as "word." That is that Samuel spoke every word that God had communicated to him when he came to him in a vision and gave him divine revelation. Samuel was initially fearful. He, in a sense, it could be historically that as a boy, he was afraid to speak these words to such an old man like Eli, as old men were to be respected, especially one that ruled over the whole nation of Israel as a judge and was the high priest in charge of the house of God. It was certainly not an easy thing for a young child like Samuel to receive such a stern warning and such a grievous pronouncement of judgment against the chief ruler in Israel. And yet, as we pointed out before, Eli encouraged him, and that was a proper thing and a good thing. And also here, after Samuel does reveal everything to him and hid nothing from him, it goes on to say, "And he said," that is Eli, "It is Jehovah. Let him do what seemeth him good." And once again, we have to take note that Eli is exhibiting a certain degree of humility by accepting the will of God in what is being stated. And, you know, we can recognize that God did use the churches. He did use the congregations throughout the church age for almost 2,000 years. God was working in the midst of the churches, and they did many right things, many good things, even though amongst their number there was many that were not saved. Yet even those that were not saved, they also behaved themselves in a way that had certain characteristics that had to be pleasing to God. Even though we do say of the church throughout their entire existence, even when God was using them during the church age, that they always had high places and, yes, many false doctrines. But it's also equally true that they had a certain respect for the word of God. And as a result, this was true even of the world around the church toward things like fornication and or adultery or even the Sunday Sabbath, as the world had a certain kind of respect. Some of us were witnesses to this just a few decades ago. Before the end of the church age, many businesses closed on Sunday. Now, since the judgment began at the house of God and the great tribulation began, well, the respect the church has had towards the word of God has fallen by the wayside, and also the respect that the world had for the word of God, as perhaps they witnessed some of it through individuals in the churches, also has fallen by the wayside. But it does not mean that for quite some time that there were individuals that demonstrated this regard for God and his word. And Eli, who we've clearly seen is an unsaved individual, and God is using him to typify the corporate church during the church age up until the time that the ark is taken. And I don't think it's giving anything away. We've probably all read through the book of 1 Samuel in the next chapter, chapter 4. Eli will die at the news of the ark being taken. So his life ends once the ark of the covenant is removed out of Shiloh. And once again, that would picture the end of the church age. So Eli is a type and a figure of the corporate church, but during the period when God is using the churches and somewhat blessing them. And so it's demonstrated here with his words, and he said, "It is Jehovah, let him do what seemeth him good." And then in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 3, it goes on to say, "And Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." And we can't help but notice the similarity between this verse and what we read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And I'll read that verse, Luke 2, verse 40. "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And this is the child Jesus. He grows and is strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, just as it says of Samuel that he grew and Jehovah was with him. And of course, Jehovah would be wisdom himself. And Jehovah did let none of his words fall to the ground. So once again, God is reminding us that Samuel is a type and a figure of Jesus Christ, and in these early days of his childhood, as he is beginning to minister to the Lord, even as a boy, we find very similar language of the child Jesus. And it goes on to say in verse 20 in 1 Samuel 3, "And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah." So all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. And that's a fairly common way that God has used in the Bible to describe all Israel. That is Dan to Beersheba. For instance, in 1 Chronicles 21, it says in verse 2, "And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." And that is, I want a census done, and I want everyone in Israel included. And so it's stated from Dan to Beersheba. And why Dan? Because Dan was the furthest region north of Israel, and Beersheba was south. And so he's saying, I went from north to south, everyone counted, and none left out. And that's how God has used this language of from Dan to Beersheba. Well, going back to 1 Samuel 3:20, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah. So historically, all Israel of the time that Eli was judge, and Eli was judge from about 1108 BC until 1068 BC, and Eli's judgeship is about to come to an end. At this time, all Israel knew Samuel was established to be a prophet. And the word established is used in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. And we'll just look at this one verse. It'll give us a little bit of an idea what's in view. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in Jehovah your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And there Jehoshaphat is saying, if you believe in the Lord, you will be established. And so one thing we can learn is that Samuel was showing forth that he trusted in the Lord, that he was a child of God, a believer, a true believer. And there's more involved than that. As people heard of certainly Hannah giving him to Eli and giving him to the service of the Lord, and also that he was receiving revelation from God, this began to get around. And all Israel soon learned that he was a prophet of Jehovah. Now, again, this relates to the Lord Jesus. When we look at the ministry of Christ or the birth of Christ in his early days, we wonder, did God establish the Lord? Did the Father establish the Son as he entered into the human race? Did Israel know? Were they aware that the prophet that Moses spoke of, remember, he said that a prophet the Lord would raise up among you, and that would be the Messiah. Did Israel know that a prophet, that the Messiah had come and was established of God? And we would have to say they knew most definitely, without any question, all Israel heard and knew that God had established a prophet who was born. For instance, let's go to Luke in chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses. Let's place ourselves back, in this case, in Luke 1. It would be early 8 BC, or it would be in the year 8 BC, and God sent Gabriel, who was probably Christ himself, to visit Zacharias. And he told Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth, who was an old woman, barren, would have a son. And Zacharias is struck dumb in the temple. And notice it says in verse 21 of Luke 1, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So here the people are witnesses that Zacharias had received the vision. And certainly people then were very similar to people today. And they talked about things and they shared things. Today we have things like Facebook and Twitter and all these instant means of communication. But what do people do with all this advanced technology? They share things. They communicate with one another. And it's, of course, ancient, but exactly the same thing. In 8 BC, people would have wanted to share. What do they say today? Share your status? Well, they would have wanted to have shared things that were happening at that time that were unusual, that in this case would soon turn miraculous. So Zacharias is struck dumb, and then his wife Elizabeth, an old woman, a barren woman, is with child. She conceives and she hides herself. And then soon after that, a virgin, a young girl named Mary, also is visited by God and told that she will conceive a child of the Holy Ghost, and she's never known a man. It says in Luke, verse 34, it just says what I just said. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then Mary quickly, with haste, goes to the hill country and enters into the house of Zacharias and salutes Elizabeth. And it says in verse 41 of Luke 1, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And, you know, these people had families. They had other close friends. And certainly Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph also would get involved. And Zacharias was struck dumb since that time in the temple. These things would have become more and more known, and people would have developed greater and greater curiosity towards what is going on, what is happening. And then, at the same time, or soon after, Caesar Augustus made a decree that all the world should be taxed, and all went to their own cities to be taxed. And in Luke 2, verse 4, it says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. So the city would have been overflowing with people, because God wanted everyone to know these things. And not only was it the time of taxation, so the city was overflowing, but it now became the year 7 BC, a Jubilee year. So more and more people were coming to attend the Feast of the Jubilee. And at this time, then, finally, God makes a grand announcement in Luke 2 and verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So God gloriously reveals the truth of the Messiah's birth to these shepherds by an angelic host. And certainly this would have been the greatest news of the time. Nothing could have compared to this. The Jewish people had been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And now there's all of these incredible events taking place. Zacharias being struck where he was dumb and could not speak. And Mary, a virgin, being with child, and angels declaring that great tidings or good tidings of great joy, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. The Messiah was to be born that very day. You can be sure that those shepherds, when it says that they made known abroad the saying, that they certainly did. They told everyone they ran into that, oh, you wouldn't believe it. But we were in the field watching our flocks by night, and this is what happened. And then they meet someone else, and they would tell that person. And there would have been tremendous interest, and crowds would have gathered around. And the ones they told would have told others. And Israel was never really a very large nation from Dan to Beersheba. It wasn't even that big in 7 BC. It was under Roman rule at this time. But the Jewish people would have been buzzing about all these things. And it just continued, because even when the baby Jesus was going to be circumcised and went into the temple, there was a man named Simeon who came, and it says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken. And certainly Simeon likewise would have shared these things with others. And then Anna came along. In verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So Anna was behaving as a prophetess in the sense of speaking forth the word of God, and God had opened up her understanding too. So you had Anna now telling everyone who looked for redemption, anyone that had any sort of interest in spiritual matters, in the salvation of God, in the forgiveness of sins, Anna would share with them. Simeon would tell people his story. The shepherds were telling people their story. Those who were with Zacharias at the temple were speaking their story, that Elizabeth, a barren woman, gave birth to John the Baptist, and as soon as he was born and had his name called John, Zacharias was able to speak. More and more people, this was snowballing, and it was spreading Bethlehem and Jerusalem, and certainly wherever the Jews were. But more than that, if we go to Matthew, we find that even the ungodly heard about these things, and the ungodly would help to spread it perhaps more than anyone. In Matthew 2, it says in verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod spoke with the wise men and asked them or told them to bring him word again. And they went And they found the child Jesus in a house. Forget about the Christmas cards you've seen with them going to a manger. This was well after Christ's birth. He was probably a toddler, and he was in a house. He wasn't in a manger at all. And then, being warned of God in a dream, they went back to their own country another way. So you had shepherds and Simeon and Anna, and then mysterious wise men coming from the east and speaking to Herod, and Herod conferring with the spiritual leaders of the Jews. And certainly the gossip would have been just overflowing with curiosity as people were wondering, what is going on? What is happening that these events are taking place? But then Herod would make certain that all Israel heard of the Messiah, because out of envy and out of cruelty and just wickedness, when the wise men did not return, he ordered all the children in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, so not only Bethlehem, but other towns around, he ordered the children 2 years and under slain. In verse 16 of Matthew 2, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. A horrible massacre of young children. We can know for absolute certain that when a ruler who is not a Jew orders the massacre of young children in such a widespread area, that the news of this atrocity would have spread to all the people of Israel. And of course they would have asked, why did he do such a thing? What would make him kill little children like that? And the answer would come back. He was seeking to kill a certain child, a child that wise men from the east had told him about. And then other reports would come together. Oh, this must be the child that was born in Bethlehem, the child born to a virgin. Shepherds reported on this. And it was said that this child was the Messiah, and it would have been strong confirmation to the people of Israel that, yes, that there was a child born, and this child was established of God to be the prophet. It must be the prophet that Moses spoke of. Well, we'll continue with this when we get together in our next Bible study, but for now, may the Lord's perfect will be done.